You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Yesterday we looked at some of the issues facing families of prisoners and former inmates, particularly over the festive period. It's on foot of the opening in Clare of a branch of the Bedford Row Family Project. It offers support, counselling and training to around 70 people here. We heard yesterday from a former Gartha superintendent who's head of its steering group in Clare, and from the mother of a former prisoner who now volunteers at the organisation. This is on foot of a series of interviews by our Morning Focus producer Fiona McGarry, who is now back in studio to tell us more. Fiona, what are we going to hear today?
Well, today we will hear more about the psychological impact for families of having a member go to prison. There's obviously the issue of separation. We can all understand and identify with that. But there's often a sense of being judged, of being ostracised from the community. And one of the mothers that we heard from yesterday mentioned that Bedford Row aims to support people in dealing with all of those issues. And the centre in Clare, it's on the Clonroad Business Park. It's in Ennis. And as we heard on Tuesday, that offers practical advice and lots of other services. It is technically a part-time service, but up to 10 really volunteer, are really dedicated and qualified volunteers give their time every week, and that is one of the remarkable things about the project. We're going to hear from two of those today, and first we'll hear from Ray. He works intensively with former prisoners, and part of the work that he does is, as he'll explain, giving them a listening ear, but also providing a mechanism whereby people can avoid reoffending. And we'll also hear from other members of the Bedford Row Men's Group in Clare.
Here's Ray Wallace, first of all.
Okay, my full name is Ray Wallace, and I'm a psychotherapist, and I work here with Bedford Row, particularly with men. We do it on Wednesday afternoons, where we have a men's group, and I sit in as a psychotherapist and facilitate that space for men of this area in Clare.
Tell me about the profile, Ray, of the men involved. Are they family members of prisoners, former prisoners? Who comes to that group?
Mostly it's former prisoners, but anybody is welcome, including family members of prisoners, and that's what the space is for. So it's typically your middle-aged or young men that have not been long out of prison and trying to find their way in the world again. Very often in the past there's been addiction issues, and a cycle, I suppose, of getting into difficulty and ultimately finding prison. Mm-hmm. And our space here, I suppose, is really to hear and meet them as they are. And if you like, really listen to them, because it's something that's we feel in Bedford Row, and certainly I have a passion about, is like very often people are not listened to, whether it's victims or people that have committed a crime. Purely just simply listening to somebody and hearing how angry they are sometimes, what life has been like for them growing up, what has brought them onto a path of addiction, what is it that they're avoiding, what are they suffering with, what has them here. So it's really to meet them as they actually are, and in doing that, the hope is, or my hope is, that people will feel a sense of belonging, which is hugely important for people regardless, a sense of belonging. And in having that sense of belonging, if you like, interrupting the cycle of crime and drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. So, you know. Is it something people find difficult when they come here? They've come out of potentially a long time in prison. Is it very difficult for them to come here and to express all of those emotions that you've talked about experiencing with the men here?
It is difficult for them, yeah, it is. I mean, people take a risk crossing the door. They don't know who they're going to meet, what it's going to be like, and they're wondering, what is this all about? And like, but what in my experience of being here, after being here for 15, 20 minutes, an hour, they start to relax and realise, look, I'm not amongst anybody other than my own. I have a space here where I can be myself and be listened to and be met as I actually am. So after a while, they start to trust, and trust is a huge thing with people that have been in prison, you know, and coming out of prison. How can I trust? How can I trust myself? And so trust is a huge thing. So they start the process of trusting, and this is what it's all about as well. Nervous in the beginning, absolutely, but my experience is that they tend to relax. Men tend to relax over time and start to open up. Mm-hmm. and start to open up, yeah.
Sometimes, Ray, when people hear about support services for people who have obviously broken the law at one point in their lives, they might feel that this is a soft approach, or that we're being soft on prisoners or soft on crime. What would your response to that attitude be?
Well, I think, you know, this has been here for memorial, you know, that we've been soft on prisoners, that we've been soft on crime, but still our prisons are full. And you know, it goes on. So what we're doing really is providing intervention for people, you know, or the possibility of giving people a sense of belonging. And it has proven in other cultures and other societies that in giving people a sense of belonging, it tends to have a very positive influence on people's lives. So intervention is happening, you know, with ex-prisoners in that regard. You know, and victims of crime, absolutely, you know, I mean, you know, to be a victim of crime is a terrible thing. And some of the staff here have been victims of crime. You know, and we all have from time to time, I think. And we know what it's like. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't solve anything. So really, how do we go about positive intervention, do you know? And this is our attempt at doing that, do you know?
And these interventions, Ray, do you feel that intervening with prisoners can actually help and prevent further crime and further offending in the future?
Well, absolutely. I think people with a sense of, I mean, we're looking at developing a programme for DESH schools where we work with teachers to help teachers give children that have been impacted by imprisonment, for teachers to work with these children in a particular way, you know. Not treating them particularly specially, but really giving them a sense of belonging, you know, and a sense of being cared for and being nurtured. I don't know if you ever had a teacher when you were young that you really felt all warm with. Well, can you imagine kids that have coming out of very often very disturbed families and feeling a sense of warmth in a primary place outside of the home, like, for example, in school, it's a primary place, and feeling a sense of belonging there. This, again, is another sort of strand that we're looking at to help the whole, break the whole cycle of and suffering that is drug addiction and that is crime. And so we're now looking at this at a very young age, and not just at post prison, but actually well before we ever get there.
But in your experience and having worked with Bedford Row, do you feel that this model works?
Well, absolutely I do. You know, I mean, I have experienced, I have experienced where people have gone back into prison, you know, post this model, but I've also experienced where people have got real value and been met and connected with in a real way, and as a result, that having a very positive impact in their lives, and going off and getting jobs afterwards, and going off and making a life. And we have people coming back into Bedford Row saying how positive an experience it has been for them, you know. So from that perspective, and again, not to mention the children and wives and husbands of prisoners and how it's that's a whole other area. I mean, we've had very positive feedback in Bedford Row about this service and the support that people get, you know. Yeah.
And that must in turn create a positive impact on society.
Well, absolutely. And that's what it's all about, really. How do we positively impact society? How do we positively impact the individual that has been in prison, the families that are impacted by imprisonment, the children? How do we positively impact society? And particularly going back to the kids, you know, the kids suffer huge loss when a parent goes into prison. There's huge grief. They've done nothing wrong. They're just born into this circumstance. And here we are in some way trying to support and help the children with a sense of belonging and a sense of normality, and that they're really deserving of a good education and care and nurturing.
And that's Ray Wallace. Ray is a psychotherapist with the Bedford Row Project here in Clare. He's been speaking with Fiona McGarry.
Complete bathroom renovation.
You're welcome back. On the programme today, we are continuing and indeed concluding our look at the Bedford Row Family Project, which offers support, counselling and training to around 70 people here in Clare. They work with the families of prisoners and former inmates. Before the break, Fiona spoke with Ray Wallace, a psychotherapist with Bedford Row. And now, Fiona, he was working with the men's group, sorry. We're now going to hear some of those who've been working with the women. Women's Group, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. We'll hear now from Caroline McConville. She works to co-facilitate the Women's Group. Now, the group itself is led by people who have direct experience of having a family member in prison, and Caroline is there to offer professional guidance with that. She says that when people can come together to talk in confidence and in a safe space about what they're going through, there are huge benefits.
So when you can share your experience with people who've experienced the same thing, there seems to be a certain element of acceptance that comes from that. So once family members, you know, group together, the isolation tends to be not as much. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going through huge stress and strain. Mm-hmm. The experience does isolate them, not only from friends and relations, neighbours, work colleagues. What they find is that they tend to isolate themselves because they don't know how to deal with it. They're in a very uncomfortable position a lot of the time, that they find it hard to express what is actually happening, not only for their family member, but what's happening within themselves. They're coming up with feelings and emotions that they haven't experienced before. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, feeling that they're to blame, that they may have been the cause of what's happened to their family member. Mm-hmm. So on their own, you know, what they've said, I'm probably repeating myself now, but within a group, coming together, sharing that and realising that they're not on their own actually does.
You've mentioned, Caroline, there some of the impacts of imprisonment on family members. What other services can the women who come here avail of, you know, in combination with the peer support? Other services that might help them come to terms with what's happened and also to support perhaps their children or families?
The centre itself will be propose for people that at any day of the week that they can call in, there'll be somebody here to greet them, and, you know, a place where they can come to if they're unsure of visiting times, if they're unsure of, you know, who do they contact next? Do they contact probation? Do they contact social services? Do they contact, you know, how do they get a medical card? There's a lot of simple everyday issues that Bedford Road be kind of like a signpost onto other services. Within family members themselves, like the confusion that can first envelope them when they realise that their family member's in trouble with the law. It can be very isolating for them, depending on, you know, what the situation is. Not all the time it's criminality, you know, a lot of the time it can be financial issues. There's a lot of reasons that bring people to the prison in the first place. And that isolation of not knowing who to talk to is what separates, you know, people from getting the help that they can, you know, benefit from and come to terms with in their own time.
And then finally, Caroline, you must see a huge transformation for some people who come here on a regular basis to use the services. What would you say are the benefits?
I think that the benefits are so well put by one of the experienced ladies in the peer support group is the acceptance. The isolation can be very huge, you know, and having these thoughts going around in your mind on a continuing daily basis, you know, she puts it so eloquently. She says that it's great to come here and have a place that we can just chat about everyday simple things. We can laugh at ourselves, we can laugh at everybody else, you know, or, you know, family members. They can even in some way laugh about their family member, you know, that has been, you know, convicted or maybe in prison. And it's not to make light of what that person has done. What it is to relieve the stress. And sometimes when the feelings, you know, as one lady had said, it's not that we don't care or we don't realise the severity of what a family member has done. It's we live with it day and night. You know, they have sleepless nights. Every day they're out in public looking at their work colleagues, looking at, you know, parents at the school ground, looking at head teachers and feeling somehow they're the cause and responsibility for, you know, possibly in this case, you know, children that may be in prison. you know, having a laugh in a secure place relieves some of that stress. And realizing that, yes, it is serious what they've done, and accepting that in the circumstances they were at the time, you know, that not knowing what was going on, that they may be in a better position now to know what to do. But in earlier days, they wouldn't have known who to turn to. They may have felt let down by CAMHS, let down by school principal, let down by a whole heap of services along the way. So, it, you know, the inevitability kind of built up over the years. They're in a, you know, years of stress and strain. Now they've approached Bedford Road because it's the other end. You know, where do we go from here? And that's really what we hope to offer families is, when you are stuck and you don't know where to go, it's, where do I go from here? Just pop in for a cup of tea and we'll hopefully do our best to help you find that for yourself.
That's Caroline McConville there at the Bedford Row Family Project in Clare. She mentioned that she works alongside family members Fiona affected by imprisonment to offer support to others who are in a similar situation.
Yes, the women's group is about what's known as peer support, and that is part of the Bedford Row model. We've heard about the supports for men, many of whom are former prisoners, and just there for women. We're going to hear now from Annette, and she's a mum. She has years of experience with the project, the Bedford Row Project in Limerick, and she's now bringing that to Clare to run a kids group.
Well, I've worked in Bedford Row in Limerick for 8 years, and mainly I work with the children, and we run a kids group as well as doing some family support work. And so recently Leanne approached me to know would I do some crafts with the women here in Innes, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. We did first 6 week slot, and then Leanne went looking for some more funding, which we got, and we've just completed another 6 week slot of crafts that were mainly focused on recycled material, which didn't cost very much. And it was a great sessions. We bonded with the women, and you know, the only difference is the county. The problems and the issues that they have are the very same. So it was quite easy to blend in here, you know.
There must be situations where when women get together to do the activities that they share their stories and their struggles. What kind of issues come up, Annette?
Mostly the issues that we come across is about boundaries that they might have around, you know, maybe a family member's addiction and their imprisonment, and how to hold, you know, healthy boundaries. And so rather than tell them what to do, we like to hear what's going on for them, because it's people judge very quickly, and we know things aren't straight and they're not black and white. So, you know, sometimes you have to do what's safe for you at that particular time, and that's okay as well. And everybody around the table, whether they're rolling pieces of paper or making paper roses, they can talk and they can say and they can feel safe. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important part, is that they feel safe and they feel heard and not judged.
Mm-hmm. Annette, why was it important for you to get involved in Bedford Row, and why is this something that you've given so much time to?
Well, a number of years ago, I went looking for help for myself. I was looking to answer a few questions around, you know, a family member that was having issues, and discovered that there was this whole collection of people out there who have good ears, good hearts, and have time. Mm-hmm. And then Bedford Row ran a family support course over 2 years, which covered huge amount of topics, including family dynamics, addiction, relationship, and it was just, it's what I wanted to do. I just want to be able to make a difference, to help.
Mm-hmm. And what are the benefits that you see Bedford Row providing to those people affected by either having a family member in prison or been through the service themselves?
It might be something as simple as a mother coming in and saying, I didn't answer the phone. And it could be as simple as that, and that's a celebration. That's a success for that woman that day. So it's about not measuring success by any meter that's set by anyone. It's about, what did you do that you couldn't have done last year? That's growth, and encouraging that. And that's where I see the difference.
And that's Annette, and she works with the Bedford Row Family Project in Limerick and now in Clare. The Bedford Row Project in Clare can be contacted on 065-689-2288, and the centre is on the Clon Road Business Park here in Ennis. Erin Monaghan is the project leader with Bedford Row in Clare, and a reminder, Gavin, that she told us a lot of the groups are winding down, obviously, as you can imagine, for the Christmas period, but they do want to stress that support is available right through the holiday time, both over the phone and in person. So if you do call 6689-2288, that's 065-689-2288, if you do contact Bedford Row in Clare over the holiday period, when obviously, you know, things can be very tough for family members who, or for people who have family members in prison, you will get a call back. So do make sure to leave a message.
That's 065-689-2288, Fiona. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Gavin.
You very much. And by the way, on the programme tomorrow, Fiona will have another report. We're taking a look at Shannon. We've had a lot of discussions the last couple of weeks about Shannon Venue and the plug being pulled on that project. And it led to a lot of reaction from listeners in the town and people living close to the town as well, in terms of, well, issues as they see it. And Fiona's been taking a look at those. We'll hear all that on the programme tomorrow.
Situation I'm in, and I'm sick of the bills that are weighing me down. Bus is late, couldn't wait, took the chance in the 64s. My luck, it doesn't rain on me, it pours. Take note, I got a one-way ticket to hell. If I was half the man that I'd try to be, to live my life in harmony, my pockets need to be sold to hold my dreams. I want the key to the city that's held me down. People shake my hand all over town, and my face on a ball saying vote me number one. For the dream, I move it, do it, lose it, I'm home. Don't tell me money's nothing. Look around, can't get a job, and I work to live, I don't live to work. So my head's all filled with yes, I can, and my suitcase packed with my master plan, with my lucky penny swinging round my neck. If I was half a man that I want to be, with my theme instead to some degree.
Irish and Clare FM, that's Ryan Sheridan and The Dreamer. It's 10:33. Michael's been in touch with us. This is following on from the comments and the remarks in the Dáil yesterday by Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Michael is backing them 100%. Also in relation to the banks, he says nobody's asking what people have done with money they've borrowed. If they don't repay, he believes, then evictions must happen. Well, Steve is in Ennis as well. Unimpressed. We had a John in North Clare was in touch with us, and he was lamenting the fact that here in Ireland, unlike in, for example, France, we're not maybe the best in terms of mass protests. Steve says, excuse me, so now we want French-style protests because Sinn Féin are upset. I've never heard any Sinn Féin person say sorry for murders on this island over 3 decades. That's from Steve in Ennis. It's Morning Focus here on Clare FM. We're back in a couple of minutes' time when we will be hearing support and advice for people with asthma, particularly timely at this time of the year.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.